Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and leave the circle for us. They can have the Cadillac and T-Bud too. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. Welcome to Out There. It's Wednesday, September 21st. Oh boy, a week in the life of Ruthie. Well, since I'm your host, you're going to hear a little bit about my last week. And it was difficult. I was negotiating a breakup, or not. Let's see if I can talk about that a little bit in terms that respect the privacy of everyone involved. Though this is the Valley, so everybody knows everybody's business. And like yesterday, I'm like trying to deliver food co-op order deliveries. And I'm just like bawling going down the bike path, and I drop off a box of food for someone. I'm just like, here's your food, and have a bucket of tears to go with it. So it's not like I can hide it. But that was yesterday. Today, it's a different day. I'm on the top of the roller coaster today. It's all good today. Anyway, if you've been through situations like this, and who hasn't, you probably understand. So that's not all that I'm going to talk about today. Also, I have a 10-minute interview with Alice, who I met today when I was out on my route. Actually, I think a lot of today's show will just be the morning downtown. Anyway, thanks for listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And so in my week of dire straits and relationship chaos, I decided to do a question to the random person on the street. So, do you think people are too picky about their partners these days? I got a pretty wide variety of answers. Some very helpful, and some not helpful at all. And the first person I saw was Chris Perry. He was just getting up from his spot in front of Haymarket when I came through. He gave me a friendly greeting, as always.
How you doing, honey?
Okay, how are you?
Better now. I cannot go wrong. I see my sisters. I saw my minister too from my church. She just finished. She said, "What you doing out here?" I said, "Oh, I'm getting ready to take off from my class." Life is good, man. It's coffee.
I'm good, thanks.
I'm good. Yeah. I know y'all good, but I just didn't know how good y'all really is.
Trying to figure out.
Yep.
You think they look too picky? You think people break up all the time because they're just wanting something unrealistic and it's too picky?
Yep, they do. Hey, my man. Excuse me.
All right, you got business to do. Never
right,
mind.
Exactly.
You got more important stuff.
Hey, brother.
I see Chris a lot when I'm doing downtown trash, and once, and he was having one of his usual talkative spurts. He came up to me. He asked me if I had a sign. He asked me if I had some cardboard for a sign. And I said, oh, actually, I have a sign here already that I found in another garbage can that I just picked up from. And I started to give it to him and said, homeless and hungry, anything helps? Something like that. And I was like, Chris, this isn't the right sign for you. Here, I think you should make a sign. Here, I'll make it for you. I said, I think you should make a sign that says, give me 50 cents and I'll shut up. And Chris said, oh, yeah, make that sign for me. So I did. He told me today that it's been working pretty well for him. No, actually, he told me today that he has it at his house, but it did work for him. Anyway. So then I asked a couple other people, but only the man spoke. Do you think people are too picky about their partners these days?
Absolutely not. I just think that you need to find what matters most in each other as a person and accept that for what it is and truly believe in it, and you can have a very long, happy, and successful relationship.
Uh-huh. What do you think? No comment? How long have you all been together?
5 years, off and on.
Yeah. Okay, so then I asked another friend, just thinking about cultural shifts, you know, high divorce rates and things like that. Like, so much going on in our culture. Ben, do you think people are too picky about their partners these days? Like, you know, like when you think about, like, increased rates of divorce and how marriages used to be, like, more...
Well, I think people had to learn how to cope a lot more in the past. They didn't think they had a choice.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference. So it's a blessing and a curse, right?
I think... okay, so those are all the words of wisdom I had from there. Actually, there was actually some words of wisdom that I had that I got from an older gentleman that I met on the bike path. He didn't want to be recorded, but I asked him what he thought. You know, do you think people are too picky about their partners? And he said, well, sometimes I think people just don't try hard enough. And so I thought about that a lot and thought about how sometimes I try real hard to tolerate another person, but do I try real hard to build something with them? Anyway, I'll think I'll stop on that section for today. And so other things that I have for today, I have a quick little blip from Ernie of Ernie's Garage and like a 10-minute interview with Alice Kay, who lives on the corner of Round Hill Road and Crescent Street, talking about her ladder trellises and becoming a painter, a painting contractor and stuff like that. But next I'm going to play, so this thing from Ernie's Garage. I've noticed when I'm working downtown or when I'm riding down King Street, there's no pavement in the parking lot of this garage right on King Street, right downtown. And I thought it was kind of cool. It's been pebbles for a while. I don't know how long. I feel like a year or something, for quite a while. So I was kind of curious why it's pebbles when there's so many things that are quickly paved downtown. So I went inside to see who I could talk to.
I think it's curious because there's so much pavement downtown. No. And to see like somewhere that's driven on that's not paved instantly. I think it's cool, actually.
Well, it just turned out that way. It just coincidental turned out there. I had the pebbles put down because you can't... track it around the garage, so the pebbles, and then it just coincidentally looks better in that way. So now I'm a little reluctant to pave it because it looks better with the pebbles than it does with the other. But I am going to pave the part there because you have to plow.
Yeah.
That part where that car sits, that square with the canopy is going to still stay with the pebbles. I'll leave it, you know, because I think the pebbles look better than the tar, you know.
That's
but
cool.
It's just, it's not uniform.
But you had the pavement taken up originally so you could get the gas tanks out.
Well, the tanks were over there, so you had to dig up the tanks and the gas pumps, and they all have to go by law, you know, if you're not in the gas business anymore.
Are you can you introduce yourself?
Ernie.
You're Ernie.
Yeah,
all right.
That's right.
So, Ernie himself.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Ruthie.
I'm Ruthie.
Thanks for being here.
Good luck with that pedaling. That looks like quite a job.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I was going to go back to my saga of my love life saga and play a song. How about a little bit of Fleetwood Mac? Except for... Oh, yeah. Here it is. You got it. Fleetwood Mac.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. Go your own way.
And that was a little Fleetwood Mac. I won't say who is who, me or my special friend, which character is which in this song. But anyway, that reminds me. I wanted to mention that Dwayne has been in training to do a show on Valley Free Radio. He's going to do a 70s rock show. Maybe you'll hear that song again on his show. All right, let's go back to what next. So I think now I'll play this clip from an interview with Alice Kay. I was biking. I was on my route going up Crescent Street, taking a turn up Round Hill Road. And there she was out in her yard. And my friend Deirdre told me that I should interview her someday. And no better time than when someone's out in their yard. So I stopped to see if she wanted to talk. And this is Alice.
My name is Alice Kane, and mm-hmm. I was a painting contractor for about 25 years. And OSHA would not let us use wooden ladders.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I should have introduced that clip. You know what? Sometimes I forget which how the clips start and all that. So one interesting thing about her yard, when you ride by, it's got lots of trees and plants, and then this trellis, this tall trellis kind of structure that I'd never taken a close look at before. So I asked her about her trellis. That's how the conversation started.
25 years. And OSHA would not let us use wooden ladders. We had to switch to the metal ladders, which were safer. Mm-hmm. And so the building contractors were throwing the wooden ladders away. And I had wanted a trellis by that side of the tree so that when I sat on the porch, the screened-in porch, and looked out, I wouldn't be seeing the intersection, the blacktop. Mm-hmm. So I put the wooden ladders up, and the sugar maple tree anchors it in the winter so that when the wind blows and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. And you have to be careful when you tie that to a tree branch that you don't cut the the food source away from the branch and it would die.
Uh-huh.
But one of the reasons that OSHA felt that we couldn't use the ladders anymore is that the rungs might be rotten or something, and then they would break and someone would be injured.
Uh-huh.
But I priced the cost of putting a trellis up there, and uh-huh. it was prohibitive for me. And uh-huh. so to have these wooden ladders all of a sudden appear and be available, it was wonderful.
Wow. You know, I have to admit, I've lived here for 14 years and gone by this intersection I don't know how many times, but I never stopped long enough to actually look and see that those were wooden ladders. I never knew what they were. Just like some ladder-like structure. But they're actual wooden ladders. How many are there?
Well, there's a number of them.
Let's see. They're like, I think I count 16?
Yeah, and they're anchored in place with metal stakes so mm-hmm. that, they'll stay in place. And the shorter ladders I used by the garage and in the back for my raised beds vegetable garden for the beans to grow up on.
Mm-hmm.
I put two coats of boiled linseed oil on them to protect them so they wouldn't rot. And it was interesting because last year I had some tree work done on the sugar maple tree. And afterwards, the person who did the trimming, which he has done maintenance work for years, he said, your ladders are still good. I came down on them. And I panicked funny. For a minute thinking that, oh, no. But he knew what he was doing.
And the chains, the metal chains that are hanging off and through the ladders?
Well, when I first put them up, I wanted something to sort of to look like a vine.
Uh-huh.
And so the metal chains were something that was before metal was, you could get a return for turning in metal, that kind uh-huh. of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so the metal chains I draped as if they were vines.
Cool.
To give the illusion.
Uh-huh.
And I first planted honeysuckle, and then I found out that it was invasive.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to remove it, and now, so 3 years ago, I've planted native climbing hydrangea and, you know, trying to be a little more cognizant of native plants and that kind of thing.
So if people aren't actually looking at these ladders, they're just, like, for listeners, how tall? These are tall ladders. How tall are they?
They're 20 feet tall.
Wow. I can't believe I never noticed their ladders. That's really cool.
Yeah, so...
When did you put them up?
It has to be at least 25 years ago.
Wow.
At least, I think. I'd have to, you know, think about it.
Yeah,
because it's been a while since I've been painting and that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah. If they're interested in the wooden ladders, sometimes you can find them at, like Rhinebeck, one year I went, and there were all kinds of fruit used for apple trees kind of ladders, and they were in excellent condition and very reasonably priced, much less money than what you would use.
Right, Rhinebeck? What is that?
Well, they have the antique show. They have antique.
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Oh, well, it's in. All I know, it's. You'll see it in the Advocate, Valley Advocate, when it's. There's one in the spring and one in the fall. So, but anyway.
Also, notice you don't. You have very little grass in your yard.
Yes, intentionally. And they are. It's a low maintenance garden. Grass. There's just enough as a pathway that now it only takes me a half hour to mow with a battery lawnmower, and it's just enough that if the kids want to run around the circle or something to that effect, that's all I have. I just don't want excessive grass, and I did not water it during the drought. In fact, as you see, it's green because I didn't mow it.
Yeah, I like the view of the greenery a little better than the view of the intersection, too. I'm a friend, Deirdre Muccio, told me I should interview you. Yeah, I think she was telling me a little bit about your, like, working as a painter for many years.
I was teaching in the home health aid program at Smith Vocational.
Yeah.
And they eliminated the department in 1982, if you can believe that. And I had just gotten tenure. I had gone back to school later in my... I went back to school when I was 44. And so all of a sudden I was without work, without a job. And I had saved money to paint my house. And when I got an actual estimate, I realized I didn't have enough. So I went to the paint store up in Florence. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you know of any painter that would... teach me how to paint the second and the first floor while they painted the third and the upper part.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we know these two people that have just moved to the area, and they don't have, you know, a lot of people, clientele. Maybe they'd be interested. Mm-hmm. So they came, and 6 weeks later they hired me.
Mm-hmm.
So they came and did the work, and it was good, and I worked with them for a couple of years, and then pretty soon, students that I had taught in the adult evening classes, adults, you know, they found out that I was painting, and they knew that I was very fastidious. And so they said, can you come and paint my bathroom? Can you come and paint my, you know, bedroom and that kind of thing? And next thing I know, 5-6 years later, I have a crew of 5 men.
Mm-hmm.
And they were great. And I was very fortunate. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, and you did it for like 25 years.
So. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
So that just means that whatever you see, just path, just walk down it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just... So I've been glad. And what was interesting about painting with my crew... what I had learned to teach, you know, setting up for class and that kind of thing, getting prepared, I would go a half hour before the workers would come or my helpers and set it up and get going, and we just
sure that helped for smoothness.
Absolutely. And you know, there wasn't, it also, there were, it was more of a cooperative. If we came under the estimate, I gave 3 levels of estimates. And if we came way under because of some reason or another, I shared the monies with the homeowner and divided up the number of hours, and everybody got a bonus equal, the same amount. And so they were very, because they knew there was a, you know, sort of a fringe benefit in the way, you know?
Yeah. So that was an interview with Alice Kay, who lives on the corner of Round Hill Road and Crescent Street in Northampton. She go by and check out her ladder trellises. She gave me a tour of her yard, and I saw that she's got ladders, old wooden ladders, in many places, not just in the really visible place in the corner of the yard, but trellises along the garage and back in the back of the vegetable garden and everything. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. This is Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I think I will play, I'm going to play Jackson Browne. Love minus zero.
My love, she speaks like silence, without ideals of violence. She doesn't have to say she's faithful, that she's true like ice, like fire. Carry roses, make promises by the hour. My love, she laughs like the flowers Valentine's can't buy her. In the dime stores and bus stations, people talk of situations, read books, repeat quotations, draw conclusions on the wall. Some speak of the future, my love, she speaks softly. She knows there's no success like failure, and that failure's no success at all. The candles in ceremonies of the horsemen, even the pawn must hold a grudge. Statues made of matchsticks tumble into one another. My love winks, she doesn't bother. She knows too much to argue with a judge. The bridge at midnight trembles, the country doctor rambles, bankers' nieces seek perfection, expecting all the gifts that wise men bring. The wind howls like a hammer, the night blows rainy, my love, she's like some raven at my window with a broken wing.
That was Jackson Browne cover, actually the songs by Bob Dylan, Love Minus Zero. This is Valley Free Radio. You're listening to Out There. I'm going to make a few announcements. Coming up tomorrow, Thursday, September 22nd, is Renter's Day of Action in Springfield. There's a march that begins at McDonald's on State Street at 4 o'clock. And there's a rally for those not marching. You can gather at 3:30 at Court Square. And for music, poetry, and food, I guess after the march at 4:30, there'll be speakers. Too many people in Springfield living on the edge of homelessness. Too many people in shelters. The demands, we demand a national rent freeze, a national livable rent, and a livable wage for all people. And we demand and declare a freeze on all unjust evictions. We demand community control over land and housing in our communities. That's the Renter's Day of Action tomorrow, Thursday, in Springfield. Begin at McDonald's on State Street at 4. Also coming up, well, I'll skip ahead to next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is September 28th at my house, 8 High Street in Florence. There's going to be a refugee resettlement informational meeting. There was a meeting last night at JFK Middle School in Florence. These are informational sessions. Catholic Charities, who's the host nonprofit organization, is one of the main presenters, I believe. So the city of Northampton is talking about resettling 51 refugees starting in January of 2017 from a bunch of different countries. And there have been house meetings and public forums happening to build support in the community. A lot of people want to know, what can they do? What will this entail? Anyway, I encourage you to go to a public meeting or a house meeting. Like I said, next house meeting. Or not the next house meeting. There is going to be a house meeting at my house. You can RSVP to me, ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. And that's going to be next Wednesday evening. I think it's 6:30. Also, coming up, I want to mention, this coming Friday and Saturday, New England's largest river cleanup celebrates 20 years. Greenfield, Massachusetts. 20 years ago, the Connecticut River Watershed Council organized the first source-to-sea cleanup. This annual event has now grown into New England's largest river cleanup. CRWC, Connecticut River Watershed Council, and volunteers will continue the tradition of getting hands dirty and feet wet for cleaner rivers at the 20th annual Source to Sea cleanup on Friday and Saturday, September 23rd and 24th, 2016. Volunteers will remove trash along rivers, streams, parks, boat launches, trails, and more. If your group wants to get involved but needs a cleanup site, if you have questions, or if you know of a trash site in need of cleaning, contact the Connecticut River Watershed Council's cleanup coordinator, Alicia Charamut at cleanup@ctriver.org. cleanup@ctriver.org. And something else that I really want to announce, because this is happening at the Agape community, and it's like a Catholic worker, a community in the tradition of the Catholic worker, which is, I lived at a Catholic worker house in Chicago for about 9 years before I moved to Northampton. And I lived at St. Francis Catholic Worker in Chicago, and this is St. Francis, an annual St. Francis Day celebration coming up in Saturday, October 1st at the Agape community. That's actually in Ware. It's not a place I often go because it's difficult to get to if you're car free, and I don't like to be in cars. But anyway, it's a great place doing good things. This Francis Day celebration, they're celebrating the life of Francis of Assisi. But the program begins at 10 o'clock, and there's Muslim Voices in an Election Year. Compassionate Listening is the title of the event. There's a bunch of different speakers, many Muslim speakers or speakers with Muslim connections. And that starts at 10 o'clock at the Agape community in Ware. And there will be an interfaith prayer service at 4. Agape is a lay Catholic intentional community dedicated to nonviolence and interfaith dialogue. And, all right, what do I have next for Out There today? I guess I'll continue about my day. hauling trash. Yeah, I was hauling trash and stuff in a trash bag into the trailer. And every time I was trying to stuff the bag, it's like... Hang on.
Man, am I out of shape. I can't feel my leg. I can't feel my leg.
And I'm trying to haul trash.
Right now, why are you hanging off the earth like a bat?
I'm trying to haul trash, and the trailer's rolling along. This thing's squawking at me, coming out of somebody's garbage bag.
Now I'm perfect.
And anyway, I had to rip it out to get it to be quiet. Actually, I ripped it out because I really wanted to see if I could salvage the batteries. You can imagine, it got pretty annoying after a while. Alright, enough.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue in Northampton. Drop-in hours are Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Or just to share your company.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop under bike workshops. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Every day in the electronic media, people talk, or more likely yell, about politics.
We do things differently.
Our job is to talk about the things that we hope will be of interest to you, without all the shouting and anger.
We hope to provide facts and have reasonable discussions about the issues of the day.
That is to disagree without being disagreeable.
Join us every Friday at 7 p.m. for Civil Politics here on WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton or anytime online at civilpoliticsradio.wordpress.com.
Okay, I know something else I want to share from my day. When I was doing downtown trash, emptying the downtown trash barrels, I'm always looking at the newspapers in the boxes, and there is a newspaper, the Valley Kids, the paper for parents, October, November 2016. On the front cover, there's a picture of a young woman and an older man in the car, and the young woman's in the driver's seat, and it says, "License to drive. Teens rejoice. Parents cringe. How to survive." Of course, if anyone knows me, they'll know that I cried when I saw that picture, seeing how much I don't like to drive. But I'll pull a couple quotes out of there. Well, in general, I'll say this article was really helpful in explaining some of the legalities of what you have to do to get a driver's license in Massachusetts, especially if you're under 18. Like classroom time, and your parents have to go to a two-hour class, and all this stuff. Anyway, you can read the article if you want more. But a couple of quotes. Of course, you know, I was looking to select the quotes that I wanted to most disagree with. Of course, you get the quote that says, the parent saying, "I remember how incredibly liberating it is to get a license. And it's cool to see your kids go through that." And another parent calling it, you know, it's just like looming independence when your child learns to drive. So, of course, I have to contrast that. We have to put some more, another side of that, which is, here, I got to read from Andy Singer's Why We Drive, The Past, Present, and Future of Automobiles in America. Andy Singer says, you might ask, why would you want to give up your car? And he says, giving up your car commits you to living in an urban or dense suburban area. This is because only these areas can be regularly negotiated by bicycle, walking, or public transit. Giving up your car commits you to your neighbors and commits you to collective social relationships because you're more dependent on your immediate neighborhood for employment, goods, and services. Giving up your car also commits you to behaving in a more time and energy efficient manner. Oh, yeah, because you're always thinking about how you can combine errands. You know? I know, at least I am. Anyway, yeah, giving up your car, it commits you more deeply to public transit and the environment, and by giving up your car, you become a better political advocate for transit, for cities, and for your neighborhood, since you gain a more intimate knowledge of how they function. And then, here's some other benefits. Each year, the average American
drives 13,476 miles and spends over 13 40-hour weeks behind the wheel of a car. Studies show all this driving is partly responsible for the exploding rates of obesity. They point to suburbanites' increased need to drive. So giving up your car keeps you in better physical shape and decreases the amount of time you spend moving between destinations. And according to this statistic, it says the average American walks just 300 yards per day. Really? Yeah. I think that's like a 2008 or 10 or 12 statistic, I think. And here, as the late Ivan Illich pointed out back in 1973, the model American male devotes more than 1,600 hours a year to his car. He sits in it while it goes and while it stands idling. He parks it and searches for it. He earns the money to put down on it and to meet the monthly installments. He works to pay for gasoline, tolls, insurance, taxes, and tickets. He spends 4 of his 16 waking hours on the road or gathering his resources for it. The model American puts in 1,600 hours to get 7,500 miles, less than 5 miles per hour. All right, enough of that. What else am I going to say? Oh, yeah, so what Andy Singer goes on to say towards the end of the book is that major legislative changes are needed to liberate ourselves from the automobile, which that means a lot of meetings. He says, meetings are no fun, but political power goes to those who are willing to sit through meetings. Yeah, so I yesterday I went to this bike ped meeting in the planning department at City Hall. It's the bike ped committee. It's a subcommittee of the Transportation Commission. I go to these meetings once a month. They're 7:30 in the morning, like from 7:30 to 9 in the morning. I am a morning person, but they're very difficult for me to show up at. But I hope that I get some credit for showing up, even if I'm not very helpful in those meetings. Anyway, if anyone wants to go to advocate for bike and pedestrian stuff, feel free to come to a bike ped meeting the second Tuesday of the month, usually, at City Hall on the third floor. We've been talking about on at the bike ped meetings, so the city hired a consultant, Alta Consulting out of Cambridge, and they're for the last like 8 months they've been working on this comprehensive walk bike Northampton plan, and we were supposed to review the draft before the meeting yesterday. I looked online at the draft, at the proposed draft. It was like 250 pages. But it's really interesting. Let me know if you want to see that proposed draft. If you want to look at it, make any comments how you think Northampton could be better for pedestrians and cyclists. Give me an email, ruthie@pedalpeople.coop. I think at the November meeting, we're supposed to have all of our recommendations. And at the November bike ped meeting, the draft is supposed to be finalized then. All right. What next? What a great time for another song. A song? No, okay. I'm going to play this Losing the Dark PSA from the International Dark Sky Association. It's 6 minutes long. It's kind of made as a video. You can see it online if you go to darksky.org, or just enjoy the sound.
On the surface of a planet spinning on its axis once every 24 hours. Its rhythms of day and night are embedded in the biological makeup of all life. During the day, we bathe in the glow of the sun. As night approaches, darkness takes over. It's a time to rest, to rejuvenate, to marvel at the beauty of the night. Until just over a century ago, our night skies were very dark. Now, even the wilderness is invaded by light. Our cities glow at night. Buildings are lit up. Unshielded lights blind us as we travel along our streets and roads. All these artificial lights overpower the darkness. The waste of energy is obvious, even from space. Much of that yellow glare the astronauts see comes from streetlights. They produce most of the light pollution on the planet. The glare is scattered by the atmosphere, creating sky glows over the landscape. We are losing the dark of night at the speed of light. Light pollution threatens the health of every living thing on Earth. Lights at night disrupt plant growth. Unshielded lights contribute to the deaths of countless land and sea animals each year. Migrating birds crash into illuminated buildings. Newly hatched sea turtles mistake the glow of electric lights for the shimmer of the ocean's surface. Bright lights at night also directly affect humans. Drivers and pedestrians temporarily blinded by poorly designed lights have suffered tragic accidents. Light pollution poses a silent threat to our health. Exposure to light at night disrupts the circadian rhythms that regulate our sleep cycles. People working at night under bright lights or living in light-polluted cities face a higher risk of developing diseases such as breast and prostate cancer. Here is a night sky with typical light pollution. On a good night, only the brighter stars and planets pierce the glow. This is what the night sky might look like if we could remove the light pollution. That faint band of light stretching across the sky is the Milky Way, our home galaxy. Because of light pollution, many people have never seen it. Astronomers know all too well the problems caused by lighting up the night. They need clear, dark skies to study the many fascinating objects in the universe. Light pollution simply washes out their view of the cosmos. Lighting up the night sky wastes money and fossil fuels. To keep a 100-watt light bulb turned on every night for a year, takes the equivalent energy output from burning half a ton of coal. Multiplied by the billions of lights blazing up from Earth, the cost of energy we use to light up the night is colossal. While lighting is needed, there are some simple things we can do to ensure that it's neighborhood-friendly, energy-efficient, and helps preserve dark skies. We can replace light fixtures that send light up to the sky with ones that direct light down, exactly where we want it. They're called fully shielded fixtures. We can also illuminate only the places that need it. And of course, we can just turn off unnecessary lights. These are smart ways to use lighting. They offer simple solutions to problems caused by light pollution. We have a choice between wasting resources by sending light to the sky or learning to use light more responsibly. Light pollution is a problem each of us can help solve. Together, we can bring back the dark of night to planet Earth.
thanks to the International Dark Sky Association for that PSA. They were talking about how lighting at night affects human beings. Well, I'll tell you one way it affected me. The lights at my boyfriend's place, I'm telling you, one of the reasons that I'm telling you, like, it drove me over the edge. It's like, I can't sleep here anymore because these lights at night are on so bright all night. Can't sleep. Gotta get out of here. And then when I came back a week later last night, turns out the housing authority actually removed a couple of their exterior lights are on all night long. I figured it, oh, it's a sign. Maybe I should come back. But anyway, the light is still pretty bad. I gotta talk to them and remind them about the city ordinance that requires that lights be shielded because though. I think they're unaware. All right. Oh, something else I forgot to say when I was talking about the refugee resettlement meetings and that whatever. Another thing that I've been thinking about, sort of connected, maybe connected to that. You know, people come, they need housing, they need jobs. A couple of my housemates, Annie and Alex, we want to work on housing co-ops so that people can own their own homes to control the rent because it's really difficult for people to come here and the rent is so expensive. Another thing in terms of jobs, so there's a wage theft ordinance. If you listened to the show last week or the week before, Linging mentioned that a lot. He was a sushi chef at Zen Restaurant for like 9 years. And I was involved with Pioneer Valley Worker Center. And the Pioneer Valley Worker Center has been trying to get city councilors, Northampton city councilors, to sponsor this ordinance. Elisa Klein and Maureen Carney are the only ones last I knew that were willing to sponsor this wage theft ordinance. So hopefully next week, I'd like to do a show on that and talk with the city councilors, especially the ones who don't support it, find out what the concerns are. And because it kind of seems like a no-brainer that people should get paid for the work they do, especially people working really long hours and getting underpaid, grossly underpaid. So I think I'll play another song. I'm going to play, this is Indigo Girls. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. This is WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeer.com/out there.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. Best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, and lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see a big great movie. He graded my performance. He said he could sit through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. And I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children. I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line.
seek my soul's full sum definitive. Closer I am to with a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children. Closer I am to find, closer I am to find, closer I am to find, yeah.
Got time for one more song. I'm going to play Buffy St. Marie with Starwalker.